Support for The Common comes from the law firm of Davis Malm. Whether you're a private business, a public company, a municipality, a nonprofit, or in-house counsel, their business attorneys help achieve your short and long-term goals. DavisMalm.com, DavisMalm.com. Support for this podcast comes from Is Business Broken, a podcast from BU Questrom School of Business. Today's business leaders are saying that sustainability and diversity metrics are key to the way they do business, but what does that look like in practice? Stick around until the end of this episode to hear more.
WBUR Podcasts, Boston.
I'm Zeninjor Enwemeka, in for Daryl C. Murphy, and you're listening to The Common. Hollywood is on strike. The writers are on strike. The actors are on strike. This is the first time in 60 years both groups are doing this simultaneously. They want better pay, regulations on the use of artificial intelligence in television and film, and a variety of other ticket items. Many productions have come to a halt, including here in Massachusetts, where more than 30 major productions were filmed just last year. So we're going to talk about the local impact of the Hollywood strikes. We've got Narissa Williams-Scott joining us to do just that. She's CEO of her own production company called That Child Got Talent Entertainment and teaches at Emerson College. Hi, Narissa. Thanks for joining us.
Hello. Thank you for having me. Much appreciated.
All right, real quick, just before we jump in, I should mention that myself and a lot of my colleagues here at WBUR are also members of SAG-AFTRA, which is the same union that covers film and television actors. But we are covered by a different contract, so we're not part of this strike. So, Narissa, can you explain what are the key issues in these two strikes?
I would say the main issues are the pay and being paid for the worth of the work. I would also say the other issue is the artificial intelligence, AI issue of people utilizing this technology to circumvent and overstep the artistry of actors and writers.
Let's start with the first issue you mentioned, pay. Can you explain a bit more what is happening with pay? What are the issues there?
The main issue regarding pay stems from the fact that actors are not able to receive residuals based on content being streamed in platforms like Netflix, Hulu, Amazon, and things of that nature. So residuals are the monies that are acquired after a performance has already happened. So for example, it stems from live theater. When you would go and see a live show, you paid a ticket, you saw it once, you went out, and that was the end of it, right? Well, if you wanted to see it again, you had to go back to the theater, buy another ticket, go sit down and watch the show. As TV became a thing, the same concept. If you watched a show, you watched it once, it went off the air, and that was the end of that. They came up with this thing called reruns. Reruns are an asset to not only the company that's putting the rerun out, but to the actor, the writer, and the people who are associated with that production. Why? Because you're watching it again. That means the people who did the work to give you that content should get paid again. So that's been what residuals have been for the longest of times. Now that we have streaming services, the streaming services are saying they don't have a way to quantify how many people are watching that content. And what WGA and SAG-AFTRA are saying is, yes, you do. And we would like our check based on the fact that we know and you know that there are more people watching this content than you're letting us know. So where are our residuals?
Yeah, you know, it sounds like what you're talking about is really the economic model and pay structure in the industry. And it reminds me, my WBUR colleague, Christella Guerra, recently spoke with Tom Kemp, who's the vice president of SAG-AFTRA New England Local. And he was talking about that and basically saying how the current pay structure and economic model with these streaming services just isn't working.
it goes beyond just actors and producers. It's this whole fundamental change in our economic status here, where we have so few people making so much money and everybody else is on the bottom.
You also mentioned artificial intelligence. Can you talk a little bit more about how that technology has also come up in these current strikes?
Well, I can say that the WGA is very against the AI component to what it is that they're doing, because companies are now able to go in and have the artificial intelligence create scripts. They even have the ability in AI to take your voice. I'm talking to you right now on this podcast. They could come in and take my voice, repurpose what I'm saying based on my voice, change my complete dialogue, and make me say something else like the words to a script, and create an entire movie that I never gave you permission to do. Now you just are completely circumventing an entire populace of people. You know, creativity comes from people. Humanity comes from people. And that's what this art form is about. So yes, you can put in key phrases and keywords and get a computer to dump you out a script. But where is the humanity in that? The writers bring that to the table.
All right, we're going to take a quick break right now.
Support for this podcast comes from Is Business Broken, a podcast from BU Questrom School of Business. In a recent episode, Series CEO Mindy Luber says sustainability has reached a board level.
Look, if you're an agricultural company and you're not thinking about water risk, you're an apparel company, you're not thinking about risk to your cotton crop around the world. If you are a bank and not thinking about stranded assets of fossil fuels, you're not probably doing your due diligence.
Stick around until the end of this podcast for a preview of the episode.
A gruesome scandal at the nation's most prestigious university shines a light on a macabre and lucrative world of buying and selling human remains.
Human body parts taken by a manager at the Harvard Medical School morgue and then sold to customers online.
So my first skull is right there on the top shelf. That's my first and my favorite.
I'm reporter Allie Jarmani, and this story raises some tough questions. How should we treat the dead? And who gets to decide?
There should be some middle ground where we treat deceased tissues differently than we treat old refrigerators.
This is Postmortem, The Stolen Bodies of Harvard, a new season of WBUR's Last Scene. Listen and follow Last Scene wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, we're back. Can you tell me a little bit more about how the strikes are impacting your production company?
The main reason that we are sitting here wondering what is next is because we have some films that we're looking to produce, and without the SAG actors, it's going to be very, very difficult. You want to work with professionals. You want to work with people who hone in their craft and are at this day in and day out. Not to say that non-union actors don't have the ability, but the reality is that if you are doing something as a non-union actor, it's because it's like a side hustle, right? And if I'm about to spend millions of dollars, I want it to be with someone who is looking at this as a full-time job.
And what about outside of writers and actors? What other parts of the industry might be feeling these strikes right now?
Some of the corners of the industry I feel that are the most affected. And even if they aren't affected at this very moment, they definitely will be, are the IATSEs, are the crew, the Teamsters. They too are a union. But when you don't have writers and now you don't have actors, then what is the crew supposed to do? They can't go film themselves. And so while you have a lot of people who are in, you know, Writers Guild and SAG-AFTRA, you have far more crew in the crew unions that are saying, okay, but if we can't make a movie, how are we supposed to feed our family? So you have people who are probably, in my opinion, going to be looking for other avenues to make sure that they can have a steady paycheck so that they can take care of their families. So you may have that gaffer who walks away from filmmaking to go work in commercial. So then what does that do for the person who's been working in commercials? It actually pushes that person out of a job, because if you have someone who has filmmaking experience, which is a lot more rigorous than commercial, you're going to go with the person who has the more experience in the filmmaking industry. So it's a trickle-down effect. And this is what WGA and SAG-AFTRA are hoping, you know, like they want to make a stamp. They want to be able to say, listen, we are important and you need to recognize that. And it's unfortunate, but those who are higher up on the food chain, you know, made comments like, well, we'll just wait them out. I don't think that's the answer. I never, ever think that is the answer. I hope that they come to an agreement before that even happens.
Is there a possibility that some companies may not be able to hang on while these strikes are underway?
There will be some people, there will be some companies, there will be some nonprofit organizations that are not going to be able to hang on if the strike continues for too long. But we're artists. And let me tell you, one thing we definitely know how to do is be flexible and take care of ourselves. So whether or not we are in the filmmaking and TV making industry, we're going to find a way to make sure that we can put food on the table.
What would you say the local industry here has to gain if the actors and writers are able to get the terms they want?
I would say that the local economy here in Massachusetts would be able to gain more productions. Before all of this started happening, you know, we were slated to have between, you know, 35 and 50 films coming through the state of Massachusetts alone, if not New England, over the course of a year or two. And that is an exorbitant amount of work. And so we are standing with people to say, listen, we want this work. We got the tax credit here. We're able to make it happen. And once the union is able to sign their agreements, we will be burgeoning here. I have folks calling me from all points of the world, New Zealand, Nigeria, Sydney, Australia, asking me how to come to Massachusetts and film. They love our landscapes. They love our locations. They love our history. And they want to come here to capture it. And now that we have the tax credit, they even more so. So it would be a huge benefit for our creative space to be able to have the WGA and SAG-AFTRA to get their terms so that we can all get back to work.
Yeah, it's interesting. There's a lot of major issues that are playing out here with these two strikes. Narissa, before we let you go, I do got to ask, because I know you teach at Emerson College. I'm wondering, how are you talking about this with your students? This is, you know, the next generation of writers, actors, and folks working in Hollywood productions.
Well, one of the things I'm teaching this summer, Introduction to Producing, and it is proven that, you know, students now need to understand not only the how of producing, but the why. Our current generation that's, you know, freshmen, sophomores, juniors, and seniors in college, they come from a time of instant gratification, the TikTok, the, you know, Instagram and the what have you. And it's sensory overload. I always teach in my class the psychology behind media creation and why the psychology behind media creation is so key is because what we are doing is programming the minds of the people that are watching the content.
Mm.
So it's imperative that the younger generation remember the humanity of this art form. True art makes you go inward and reflect and think and realize who you are as an individual.
Well, Narissa, thank you so much for coming by and talking to us about all of this. Appreciate your time.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. All right, that was Nerissa Williams-Scott, CEO of That Child Got Talent Entertainment and Emerson College faculty member. And that's our show for today. Thanks so much for listening to The Common. And I kind of want to know, what do you make of these Hollywood strikes? Would you listen to a fully AI-generated episode of The Common? Let us know. You can send us a message on Instagram at WBURTheCommon or shoot us an email at thecommon@wbur.org. For now, I'm Zeninjor Enwemeka in for Daryl C. Murphy, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.
One more thing before you go. Hey there, I'm Common producer Caitlin Harrop. It's a big week for films finished before the strike started. You know what I'm talking about. Both the Barbie and Oppenheimer movies are out, and we want to know how you're handling it. Are you seeing both, only one, neither? Maybe there's a costume involved? Slide into our DMs with a voice memo about your Barbieheimer experience, and you might end up on the show. We're on Instagram at WBURTheCommon. Thanks.
Support for this podcast comes from Is Business Broken, a podcast from BU Questrom School of Business. Listen on for a preview of one of the episodes featuring Mindy Luber, CEO of Ceres, a nonprofit dedicated to integrating sustainability into businesses. Here's host Kurt Nickisch.
Are the people who are working with ESG data now at companies, are they in a sustainability department? Does this just become part of general strategy or part of finance? How is that evolution happening with the actual people who are looking and working with the numbers?
So with both companies and investors, the cute idea of social responsibility that was at a manager level or something their foundations dealt with, that's gone. It is very clear based on data, based on facts, based on trends, that integrating sustainability into the core business is crucial. I mean, you cannot have a climate goal that says we're going to get to a net zero by 2040 if every department at the enterprise is not working on that. That's your manufacturing people. It's your supply chain people. So we find that there is often a sustainability team, but they're laying out a plan that involves almost every enterprise, every office, every part of a firm. And that's what we're seeing, because nobody can do the kind of cross-organizational work in one little group. It involves the entire team. It involves HR. Who are you hiring? Is DEI being implemented? How is that working? As it relates to where do you get your resources? Are there enough natural resources to make your product? What are the auto companies doing now that they've committed to by 2035, there will be no combustion engine vehicles coming off their assembly line for consumer vehicles? So sustainability is no longer a cute, a niche, a part of something off to the side. It is an integral part of almost every major enterprise and every major investor.
Find the full episode by searching for Is Business Broken wherever you listen to podcasts, and learn more about the Marotra Institute for Business, Markets, and Society at ibms.bu.edu.